I want to mention once again, as we continue our second character study of Judas Iscariot, and we will look at the sin and absurd crime of Judas Iscariot. So therefore, tonight, I would like to start by asking a question. If I were to ask you, who do you think the most evilest person in the world is, in the history of the world? Well, what would come to your mind? Well, there would probably be a couple of names. Many wicked people have roamed this earth. But many of you would come up with the man of Adolf Hitler. And rightfully so, for he is responsible for the killing of over 6 million Jews. This was recorded as one of the biggest crimes against humanity in all the world. But I tell you this, even here tonight, there is even a greater crime than this. The greatest crime in the world was committed by a man just like any other. He was born, and perhaps his parents were delighted at the time of his infancy, the time of his birth. But I tell you, the word of God says different. For it says that it had been good for that man if he had not been born. What a curse it is that when God's word pronounces a curse. What a terrible thing, what it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Many people in this world think they are unable to commit such terrible acts. Well, we often see as the interrogation goes that as a police or detective would interrogate a prospective criminal, and then you would have their family member come and say, oh, I know so-and-so. There's no way that they could commit such a crime. The Bible says, let the man take heed lest he fall. Because we know that the heart is deceitfully wicked, for who can know it? And here tonight, we must understand the great danger that when Judas himself even opened himself up to the devil, that we are living in a time that even many false churches have opened themselves up to compromise and taking the devil's word. Well, we see such examples in scripture that David was a man after God's own heart. But yet even David fell into adultery and sin and even committed murder. So who are we here tonight to say that we cannot commit such acts? The life of Judas Iscariot gives us many warnings about the great danger of apostatizing. Judas, in his crime, betrayed and sold Christ for only 30 pieces of silver. And yet we're living in a time that sinners have constantly sold Christ and gone to search and gone to serve the creature rather than the Creator. But how can this be? You say Judas Iscariot was a man that worked very closely with the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it was 3.5 years that Judas Iscariot, he worked shoulder to shoulder with the Lord. He would have witnessed the miracles. He would have seen people being raised from the dead. He would have seen the blind and their sight restored. He would have been a part of the greatest preaching ever heard by the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have been a mighty witness. Well, he was the treasurer. A man that had the money bag. But yet, he committed the great sin. So therefore, I want to preach to you tonight about the sin, an absurd crime of Judas Iscariot. And I have two major points that I want to draw to your attention about the sin and absurd crime of Judas Iscariot. First, I'd like to draw your attention to the plotting of the crime. So firstly, then, let us look at the plotting of the crime. In order to understand the plot of the crime, let us look at the sinful nature of the human heart. And I believe that the Holy Spirit put this in this word to show us the sinful nature of the human heart. And in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, I'll just read it to you here as it reads. It says here that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We know that even as the Lord did say to the disciples that one of you will betray me. But here was a response from the disciples that when they said, it is I, Lord. It is I. That is it going to be me? You see, they took the Lord's word even more than the deceitful nature of their hearts. Because they knew it could be a capability of one of them. If the Lord speaks, then they know they were able to take God's word. And so must we take God's word even here tonight, that knowing that when God speaks a word, we must listen. And even as they said, it is I, when they questioned their own selves because they were so devoted to the word of the living God. The plotting to betray Christ came from Judas's sinful heart. And as we did our first Bible reading, that was the prophecy. He that is to eat bread with me will lift up his heel against me. And that's foreshadowing, and that's a plotting here as we see that Judas Iscariot is the same one that will betray the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Judas was a thief. And Judas was a thief, as we see in John chapter 12, verse 6. And I'll read it to you here. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Well, God's word makes it very clear that Judas was a thief. Judas was a treasurer for the disciples. However, he used his position for personal gain. And I want to make that very clear to you. That Judas Iscariot, he used his position in his ministry for personal gain. And, well, you say, well, preacher, can you give me an example? Well, there's probably too many to list because you have so many corrupt churches today. You have the Jehovah's Witness. You have the Seventh-day Adventists. You have the prayer palaces. You have the prosperity gospel. It's saying if you're not richly blessed with money, then you don't have the Lord. Well, you see here that there are many Judases today in churches plotting against the Lord. But may it be with you that you are able to spot the Judases in your time. That may the Lord give you wisdom that even as you do walk this road of Christianity, that you are able to identify. Because we know that the Lord does say that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So may the Lord make you wise as a serpent, as the Bible says. You see, there is great danger in these churches and other people plotting evil against the Church of Christ. Maybe as some of you here have an important position in a church, but we must understand to take heed. It's a very important thing to hold a position in the church. It's a very important thing to deal with the things of spirituality. So may this be a word of warning to everyone, even myself, even here tonight. And here we see as Judas and his plot to sell Christ, as he is abusing his position, which the Lord gave him. Out of the sinful nature of the human heart comes a heart that is not genuine. And you see, Judas Iscariot, he did not have a genuine heart for the things of God. You see, Judas was never genuine with his actions towards the things of God. And this is proven as we see in John chapter 12, where Jesus was sitting at the dinner table with his friend Mary as she poured out the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped it off with her hair. And here we see that Judas was quick to object and tried to trick the Lord with his good intentions. As he said in John chapter 12, verse 5, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" But you see, the Lord knew the heart. But I tell you that Judas was an apostate to the extreme. He tried to trick the Lord with his good intentions. But we see the truth in John 12, verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Remember, his heart was not genuine. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bear what was put therein. So let me tell you this even here tonight. No one can trick God. Well, there are those that come in. We see the wolves in sheep's clothing, and they come into the church, and they can trick the minister. Well, they can trick the deacons, and they can trick the elders, they can trick the congregation members, but they cannot trick God. Because God sees the heart. And what a great danger it is for those that are plotting against Christ. What a great danger it is that those churches that have Ichabod written all over them that are plotting against Christ by their compromise. Oh, what a great danger it is. Because we know that Jesus, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew what was in man. He knows the plots of our time. He knows the intentions of wicked men towards his church. Maybe there are some. Maybe there are some that even partake. But I tell you, the Lord is saying to those who are plotting against the Church of Christ, what you're going to do, do it quickly. You see, the great danger of a heart that betrays Christ during his plot, as we see in Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 to 16, it reads, then, I'll just read it to you here, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. I tell you this was a disciple. As I mentioned before, 3.5 years of doing the Lord's work, preaching. And even as some commentators tell us, that he's even wrought miracles, working so closely with the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing all that the miracles that Christ had done. Oh, Judas Iscariot, he knew Christ, but he didn't know him as Savior. Because we know that many people today, they know Christ, but they don't know him as Savior. You see, what a great word of warning it is, because even the devils know who Christ is. What hast thou come to torment us, as the devil said, hast thou come to torment us, thou Jesus Christ of Nazareth? The devils know about Christ. You see, this is the great danger, that Judas saw the Lord wrought miracles in front of his eyes. He witnessed the greatest preaching ever preached by any man. But just looking did not save him. Just witnessing the miracles didn't save him. And we're living in a time that many are putting so much emphasis towards the miracles and the healings, but yet they sit unconverted, because the blood of Christ has not atoned for their hearts. It's the application of the blood to the heart. You see, it comes with a heart that is truly for God. And Judas did not have a genuine heart. And he sat there unconverted after all the miracles and after all the greatest preaching. And I want to show you here. Well, we understand that Judas Iscariot, he was plotting against Christ to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. But you see, only Christ and his blood applied can transform the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And how many sinners today have sold Christ? And they sit plotting against the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they sit unconverted. And you see, that's why the preachers, they labor tirelessly to present this gospel message. Because I tell you, the sinner, he condemns himself when he bears his own sin. Lord Jesus Christ gives the way, but yet it's man that damns himself. As we know here, as the Bible says, that Judas Iscariot, he went to his own place. And even here, as it says in verse 30, in chapter 13, verse 30, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Oh, we must not miss that, and it was night, because here we know that given the light versus darkness imagery, in John's gospel writings, this observation should not go unnoticed. The Lord Jesus is about to engage in the powers of darkness. But he goes to Calvary. This is the hour that was long awaited. Light versus darkness. And remember, it is the Lord that gives the light to shine unto them. The light of the glorious gospel that should shine unto them. And that light comes from the Lord. And there's many times as we see light versus darkness, and I don't believe it's something to just read over, because it says here, and it was night. But praise God, even here tonight, that Christ was able to overcome all the powers of darkness. That we have the answer even here tonight in the face of Jesus Christ. A very serious thing. And my second point I want to bring to your attention here is the outcome of the crime. The outcome of the crime. And what we learn from the outcome of this crime is that it proves Christianity is true. Well, you'll say, preacher, how do you get that? Well, I'll tell you right here. If there had been any conflict between Christ and his disciples, Judas would most definitely have made it known. But when the crime came to a practice and he agreed to betray his master, he could do nothing more than to point out the person of Christ. Are you with me here? He had no charge against the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the picture I'm trying to paint to you here. He had no charge against the Lord Jesus Christ. And after Judas commits this absurd crime so far, he was from finding in his own mind any single thing to justify what he did. Well, notice the words here in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 4. And I'll read it to you here. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Well, Judas admitting that I had betrayed innocent blood. And you see the sinner, when he's presented the gospel message and he turns the cheek to the other way, he betrays innocent blood. Because Christ was perfect. And as we look at all, I mentioned briefly, to all those false religions as they attack the deity of Christ. Oh no, Christ, he was just a man. Oh Christ, he didn't really work the miracles. You see the devil's teaching. But remember as we read. Remember as we read here. It said that Christ said in verse 19, if you can look at it with me, the chapter 13, verse 19, notice what he says here. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am. And we see the word he in italics, and that's a supplied word. But in the original, we know that it says here, ye may believe that I am. And we know Christ's teaching and the word of God and the I am statements are pointing to God. That Christ was the God-man. And this verse here is proving his deity, that Christ is saying that I am. And when the Pharisees tried to trap him, remember the phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ said, that before Abraham was, I am. Oh, we must not forget the great I am statements from our Lord Jesus Christ. We see Judas Iscariot had no charge on him. No sinner has any charge on the Lord Jesus Christ. No sinner has any charge on him because he is innocent blood. And I tell you, Christ is perfect. It is from the deceitful and wicked hearts people betray the Lord Jesus Christ and engage in sin. And thus even Judas Iscariot giving back the money in which he gave to betray his master and then later on going out to hang himself in his guilt and his shame. And what a tragedy it is that he went to his own place, that he went to hell, he went to a Christless eternity because he turned away from God and betrayed innocent blood. You see, this is confirming Remember the word of God, it says, come and let us reason here tonight. You see, this is confirming that Christ is Lord and Savior. This was a clear proof that the outcome of his crime and betraying Christ did not hinder anything in Christianity. That right up until that time when the devil entered into Judas Iscariot, all it did was strengthen Christianity. Didn't hinder it. As a matter of fact, this was predicted, as we read in our first reading in Psalm 41, verse 9. The Lord even predicted this. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. The Lord himself predicted it and declared it to all the other disciples on purpose, not so that they would stumble, but rather to make it an additional ground for believing in him. This was meant to reinforce believing in the Lord. The outcome of his crime was also due to Judas opening himself up to the devil. Judas was no doubt was unsound from the very start, for using his position for personal gain, that Satan made continual attacks on Judas, as he makes attacks as well on those who chose to follow the Lord. It's often said that you don't know there's a devil until you're saved. And the devil will be after you, even after you're saved. We see here, we read about the attacks in Luke chapter 22, verse 3. It says here, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And as we notice, even before the devil already had put into the heart of Judas to betray him in John chapter 13, verse 2. I tell you, there is a great danger when opening yourself up to the devil. The devil does not gain anything in the lives of the saints, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil only gains access to those who invite him in. This great danger is applied here, that we are to see the great danger of he who opened himself up to the devil. So therefore, tonight I would like to conclude all things that this great crime that Judas committed against the Lord came from his sinful and blackened heart. And if there is a lesson that we are to learn, that the heart is deceitfully wicked, for who can know it? Capable of doing crimes that even the mind cannot comprehend. You see, Judas, who worked very closely with the Lord Jesus Christ, ended up being separated from him in a Christless eternity. And so will it be for the sinner that turns away from the Lord Jesus Christ, that turns his back on God. So will he end up in a Christless eternity. This is the outcome when those who are presented with Christ, either they choose to become completely in Christ and get saved, or they reject and go the broad way of destruction. Judas Iscariot went to his own place, the place of darkness, hellfire, which he had chosen. Remember, there is no middle ground. No, it's only Christ. But I, you see, as many preachers labor on to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you, the life of Judas ended very abruptly, in a very vivid picture. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And what words is that? What a curse it is for those that do not accept the gospel message. That is haunting that many today who are without Christ. You see, nothing ever good comes from rejecting God. Nothing ever comes from not accepting the gospel message. There are those that have sold Christ many times, betrayed him continually. But to the sinner, there is still a chance to come. Praise God, there's still a chance to come. And ending with the words of Christ himself, that even that those that crucified him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The message is the humility of Christ. The humility of Christ, and also the deceitful hearts of men. May the Lord bless his message here tonight and apply his word even unto our hearts. Let us end with the singing of a hymn. Let us bow our heads in the dismissal of the service. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing here. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word that thou hast written in our hearts. We ask now that thou would dismiss us in thy blessing, that thou would bless everyone who is present in the church as well as the hearers of the word. And Lord, we ask of thee that thou would give, Lord, thy help, even in this week to come. Bless the services next Lord's Day. And Lord, we ask that thou would even now dismiss us in thy blessing. Bless this word to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.